The last time we were together doing the Lord's Supper and remembering this, we were reminded that the Lord's Supper is literally a present day action of eating bread and drinking the cup, and that it reflects on a past event, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that it also is an anticipation to a future event, and that is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many things that we remember as we turn to our Lord. An action today of eating the symbolic bread and wine. To look at the past, but to be excited about the future. Would you stand together with me as we read God's word from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know that there are some believers that enter the time of the Lord's Supper with a lot of fear. They fear God's retribution for taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. The reason that they fear this is because the Scripture, verse 27, says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now you may think that as we come together and the Lord's Supper is such a common thing to a degree, that you might think, you know, well, why would anybody fear that? You might think that their approach is unnecessary. But dear friends, I want to tell you that there is an approach from far many more that is much more dangerous and much more at loss of the heart than those who would fear to take the Lord's Supper. And that is those who would take the Lord's Supper without any thoughtfulness, without any awareness, and without any preparation before they receive it. That is so much more dangerous than it is to receive it in fear. Yes, I realize that when we come together, we take the Lord's Supper, we read a scripture, we sing a song, we say prayers. But if you go home without any real introspection this morning, you put yourself in danger. Don't let that happen to you this day. I'm not saying that you need to fear entering the Lord's Supper. But what I am saying is, I'm going to ask you to do as God's word says. Therefore, let a man examine himself. Ladies, men, examine yourself. And then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Does that make sense? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we're reminded just how deep the Lord's Supper is to go. It's to go right to our hearts. Not just the lips, not just the hands, but literally, Father, to our very heart and soul. Would you use your word this morning and the reminders of your servant that we might be brought to your presence humbly, repenting, And then, Father, with that, excited to be restored and in great love and thanksgiving. We ask for your presence to be strong in each. And this we pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. You recall that the Lord's Supper, like baptism, is very symbolic, right? It goes so much further than just the act, whether it's being dunked in water or whether it is taking the bread and the cup. But it goes so much further than just the act that we participate in. Baptism, you recall, is a symbol of our surrender to Christ Jesus, a literally being brought before God to be made a new creature. We are justified in Christ Jesus. When we come before the Lord, we are washed in His blood. We are given spiritual birth. And literally, because of the washing of our soul in Christ, we are washed away, where our sins are washed away. And just like birth is only needed once, and spiritual birth is only needed once, so baptism only needs to occur once, because it is a symbol of our justification, our being born again in Christ Jesus. Make sense? We talked about that last time. Today, I want to take it a step further as we look more at the symbol of the Lord's Supper. Just as baptism is a symbol of justification, the Lord's Supper is a symbol of sanctification, of our daily need in Christ Jesus to be drawn closer to the Lord, to have His Spirit, to have His life, to have His heart in our hearts. Literally, the Scripture says that we are to abide with Him. We'll read that Scripture in just a moment. But we need to recall our daily need of Christ's grace to feed us. And thus, we observe the Lord's Supper often, because we are often in need of being drawn closer to Christ. Amen? We need daily, and sometimes, if not not sometimes, but all the time, we should be drawn closer to the Lord a number of times during the day, that we are drawn to Him. So we observe the Lord's Supper often as a reminder of our continual need to be made right in Christ, for us to be sanctified, to grow closer to our Lord and Savior. Now, I love, if you look up the term and the word sanctification, the first thing you see in there is it says, to make sacred. Are you made sacred in Christ? In His Holy Spirit, you are made like Him. The second word it uses, and this is neat, it says to beautify. Guys, that's what our women do every morning. They get up and they go to the mirror and they beautify. They hope you do the same. But as we come before the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to sanctify us. And if you can think of it, to be made sacred, to be made right before God, but also to be made more beautiful. Guys, it's a good thing. Ladies, it's a good thing that we are made more beautiful in the sight of the Lord. What a beautiful thing for the Heavenly Father to see His child and to be brought to a place where He looks at us with such favor because our sins have been taken care of, but we strive to be like Him. During the course of His final meal with the disciples, and if you go back and read the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians, you're going to, and John, I should say, as the story is told, somewhere right around the beginning of chapter 13 is where the Lord's Supper has begun, okay? So He's talking with just His disciples. But one of the things that Jesus talks about as He is preparing this supper and He's talked to them was their sanctification. John chapter 15, it tells us this, that Jesus sat down with those men and He said this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Does that sound like the Lord's Supper to you? Wait just a moment. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may be, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Then Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You say, well, what does that have to do with the Lord's Supper? Folks, it has everything to do with the Lord's Supper, because Jesus is saying, as he's coming into this time where he's going to say, take this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Drink this cup and do it in remembrance of me. First, he says, remember that the vine dresser is going to be removing those things from you that are unproductive. And those things that are productive are going to be amplified, because we're going to take away the things that are not as productive as they should be, so that they can be even more productive, so that we can bear more fruit. Now, I'm sorry about the little fuzz going on, but we can get through that. You know, Satan will use anything he can to distract you, amen? So just get over the buzz and come into the Word. Here we are. The Lord's Supper, dear friend, is a reminder to every one of us that belong to him that Jesus Christ gave his all for me. He gave his all for you. It's a reminder that we are to abide in him. Now, what does abide mean? It means that's where you live. That's where you stay. Where do you stay? You're to stay in him, and he is to stay in you. And as he abides in us, he removes all the unproductive limbs from our life. He gets rid of the waste that's in our life, so that we can not just produce some fruit, but so that we might produce what? Even more fruit. Much fruit. This removal of the unproductive branches in our life is an important part of our sanctification. As a matter of fact, that is sanctification. It's our beautification. God makes you more beautiful by getting rid of the things that are unproductive. Why does he do that? Because he wants to beautify us. He wants to make us look more like Christ. Now, there's another symbol in the Lord's Supper that I'd really love for us to see this morning. And that is the bread and the wine. Why did Jesus use bread and wine, or bread and the cup? Why? In Matthew chapter 6, just a little short time before this is occurring, Jesus instructed his disciples to ask God for daily bread. He did that in what we call the what? The Lord's Supper. Give us this day. You know that part. He said, ask God for their daily bread. But then again, in John chapter 6, verse 35, he taught the disciples that he was their daily bread. He said, ask God for daily bread. And then he said, I am the bread of life. He said, you need to take me every day. In other words, what he's saying is that he alone is the true and lasting provision of life. The bread of life. And now he continues that teaching by identifying the bread with his body again. He says, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. So it's a symbol of Christ Jesus. And the wine, of course, the natural color of the wine is crimson, so it would be a natural symbol of his blood. But I want you to notice this. Jesus calls it the cup. I'm still working on that. He never says the wine. He says the cup. We'll talk about that another time. But don't let it be lost. hear this morning. The bread and wine were staples of everyday life. Everyday life. A family that had very little and had very little else, they would likely have these two very common things, the bread and the wine. Therefore, Jesus takes what is the most common in the world and he puts it to the most holy use. They become signs of his body and of his blood. Are you letting this sink in? Do you understand what he's saying? This symbol of the wine, this symbol of the bread, these daily common things, it's aimed at you. It's not aimed at the bread. It's aimed at you. It's aimed at me. We are ordinary. We are common. There is nothing in me worthy of salvation. Nothing in me. And yet Christ Jesus, redeemed through his body and through his blood, my salvation, he redeemed me. And he makes us everyday, common, normal, sinful man, his saints, his holy ones. And you're going, well, that means everybody but me. Listen, no. That means everybody including you. Those whom Christ has redeemed, you are his holy one. You're one of his saints. And when we talk about the saints of God, so many people think, oh, them other people. Listen, if you belong to Jesus, you're one of the saints of God. You might be ordinary. You might be plain, just like the rest of us. But you understand this, God takes what is ordinary and common and makes it holy. Isn't that incredible? When you take the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder that you are abiding in Christ as normal every day as you are. But God comes into you and abides in you, and that makes you special before the Lord. You belong to God. This is what we call the miracle of redemption. It's a miracle of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. God takes what's common and uses it for his glory. He makes it holy to himself. Now, these simple and symbolic elements testify to that miracle every time we take them. Every time we take the Lord's Supper. After all, signs don't just point to themselves, right? Signs point to something else. In the Old Testament, circumcision was not the point. That did not change a man's heart. But circumcision pointed to the person that Jesus, that they belong to the Lord God. We are his. We are set aside. In the same way that circumcision was a promise to Abraham and his descendants that they would be set apart to God, the Lord's Supper is not the point either. It is not just taking a piece of bread. It is not just drinking the cup. Instead, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 that we read earlier, it proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. It is a current event, taking bread in the cup, remembering a past event, the death of Christ. And it's looking forward to a future event, his return to take his redeemed home. This symbolism calls for us to look back at the greatest and the worst day in history. The day that Christ Jesus' body was broken, the day that his blood was spilled, and all of this was done, as recorded in Matthew 26, verse 28, it says, all of this was done for the forgiveness of your sin, of my sin. It was all done for you. This table of the King of Kings calls us to abide in Christ, to live in him, and for Christ to abide in us. Amen? We can't live for him unless he's living in us. We just can't do it, because he told us, he says, for without me you can do nothing. For those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord, this supper calls you to pursue the Lord Jesus and to become closer to Him. And for those who have never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, this supper calls you to pursue Him in spiritual birth. Literally, to come to know Him. So for those who know Him, this table calls us to stay by our Savior's side, to be drawn closer to Him, to remember Him anew, to remember the abundance of the blessings, but also to be like Him. And so we are called, anytime we take the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves. Nobody can examine us like we can examine us. Amen? Nobody knows our heart like we do, except for Christ. And so, dear friends, I'm going to ask, would you join me in prayer? Right now, would you bow your head where you are? Make the seat where you're sitting your altar. And would you pray to the Father? And would you ask Him, Lord, would you see and reveal any wicked way in me? And would you ask Him, as His child, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, would you ask Him, Lord, abide in me? Cut out those unproductive things in me. Move in my heart. Help me, Lord Jesus. Prune me. Be my vine dresser. And if you've never met Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never surrendered your heart to Him, I pray that today would be that day, that even this very moment, you would call on Him and confess Him as Lord of your life. That you would ask Him to forgive your sin. That you would ask Him to abide in you.